I once knew a man in a lonely gooter. Lady, 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 oo. She yodeled back to the lonely goat herd. Lady, oh, lady, oh, loo.
Welcome to Kate Sings Broadway.
Is that Broadway? Can we talk about
on
Frozen 2?
On WBUR. You talked about Frozen 2
I don't
last
care.
Week.
We're going to talk about it again. Now we're going to talk about the music. So good. And I know it's a formula to make me feel feelings. Like, you can manipulate people. Like, oh, here we go to the minor chord, the major lift. A broken king compose. Say hallelujah. Like, you know, you, above all people, know.
Yes.
But I gotta tell you, that freaking Frozen 2 music, show yourself. I've been running around the house without pants on, singing show yourself with my daughter. That's our quarantine right now. Step into your power, grow yourself. It's so good. Hi.
Hi.
So tell me, what are you running around your house pantsless singing? What are you Donald Ducking it to?
Oh, it changes every day. It changes every day with my mood. The other day, I went like way back. It was like angsty high school, and we did the Living in Clip. The double live album of Bonnie DeFranco, and just put it on a loop all day long. I surprisingly haven't had a day of musical theater, but I feel like that's just around the corner. It could happen at any moment.
Step into your power, grow yourself. Have you even seen it?
No.
Then this means nothing to you.
Yes.
For fuck's sake, what am I even doing here? All right, I need you to go and get really high.
Okay, I don't have any
Frozen 2.
I don't have any weed.
Shit.
And I don't have a medical card. And I heard something on the governor's address where someone was like, "Why are you keeping recreational weed closed?" And he was like, "Well, we're afraid everyone from the other states are going to come in to purchase it." And I was like, "Oh, that's kind of a fair point."
That's why they closed recreational?
Yes, because they didn't want it to encourage, like, if everyone's in quarantine in all of the New England states and Mass open, like, has
it's going to be like Corona road trip.
Yeah. So I kind of get that, but you know, but yeah, a little tangent.
Yeah, so we're like an inch away from like looting and marauders. But let's talk about yoga, because that feels fucking urgent. so far I you know, I think I had a great conversation with my dad this morning, and he's a funny smart guy. He was one of my favorite people to bitch with about politics. And then whenever I tell him I'm reading something like Glennon Doyle's Untamed, he's like, "You need to read about Churchill." And I'm like, okay, you're probably right. But Glennon Doyle feels just... Anyways, he was saying, and this is amazing, he's gotten really into transcendental meditation, which, if you knew my dad, is fucking mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And he's like... He's like, "Katie, you just got to find one thing, the small things to be grateful for in this." Which, again, if you know my dad, is like a mind-blowing thing to come out of this man's mouth. And, you know, he's like, "Everything's all fucked up, and everybody is all fucked up right now." And, you know, I couldn't agree more. Like, we are all in a slow motion collective trauma together. And I, you know, I'm talking to people that are having a really hard time with their eating. Feel really triggered around food, because, you know, you're sitting inside all day, and you know, there can be a sense of scarcity, which can lead you to overeat or undereat. Any sort of way that you have a relation with food is like being put under a microscope right now.
Yeah. Isn't that wild, the simultaneous, like, scarcity leading to over and under eating.
Yes. I think it's fucking fascinating.
It's like, it's so fascinating.
Yeah. And, you know, I had, you know, it's something I struggle with and have struggled with my whole life.
Yeah.
Sort of trying to find like what is truly in this social and political context. What is the most peaceful way for me to relate with food? Mm-hmm. And like, I, you know, I'm probably going to go to my deathbed having not figured it out, but yeah. I am doing my best to actually pay attention to it because it's one of the only things I can sort of control. Not that I can, because the food supply is weird, but, it's one of the things that, I see as an opportunity for reflection in this time. Yeah. And, you know, I also, it's meaningful to, you know, pay attention to our patterns around fear and food. Anyways, I bring it up because why did I bring it up? I don't know. It's been on my mind. And I've, you know, all the people I've been talking to that seems to be a thread that comes up.
Yeah.
In conversations and memes. That's how I know I have my finger on the pulse, is when there's an abundance of memes talking about how we're all going to come out of this. Like,
oh yeah. That whole,
which is pretty fat shamey, but
yeah. Like, yeah.
You know, and then the other thing is money. I think it's important to talk about. I'm nervous about that. And also I feel so, in some ways, so deeply powerless about it that there's like a peace around it.
Yeah. I oscillate back and forth. There's like at least once a week where I go like deep into like predictive spreadsheet, Ryan.
Right. Get on there. Control the data. If I know the numbers, then it's gonna. I did the same thing. I whipped out my spreadsheets. I was like, let's just understand where the money is coming and going from.
And then, you know, oscillate between that and then I get like really, that usually swings me into this really like righteous mode of like wanting to just like totally change the way that our industry, for lack of a better word, is paying and treating workers. And I think this like streaming from home thing is understandable. And I think everyone just wanted to like jump on so that, you know, we would have physical spaces to go back to eventually, which I'm fully encouraging folks to do. But it's like really interesting. It's like, okay, so if I'm just in my own room, literally in my own bedroom with my own equipment, teaching, like, yes, it's an emergency situation, 100%. But then, like, all these questions come up. It's like, okay, like, who owns the words that are coming out of my mouth that are now being recorded? Like,
who pays for the internet that you're
Who pays for the internet? Who, like, what would happen if my laptop broke and my microphone didn't work anymore? And like, what, like, I'm just gonna knock on something to, you know, it brings up all sorts of interesting questions. And, and then also there's the like nagging voice every time I like witness one of these online classes go down, because it, like you, like sometimes I'll just like log on to see what other folks are doing, just to see, And
do you mean to the actual class?
Yeah. And not just like at various studios or like, you know, just to kind of like see how other people are approaching it. And like, I understand the urge to be like business as usual in when it comes to practice. But it's just, it's not business as usual. And I can't get on the screen and teach a normal asana class the way that I normally, like, partially because of the screen, partially because of the circumstances, you know, and also because that's not really what I'm finding to be helpful in practice. And because there's no like feedback from the room.
It turns out I respond really well to the chuckles and groans that, you know, like,
yes.
So, you know, I got 30 people and I'm like cracking bad jokes and I'm silence and I'm like, oh Jesus. And then I had hot tea because I got cocky. And I roundhouse kicked a cup of hot tea across the floor. And then you know what I did? Because this was the best choice I could make. Just proceeded to teach as if nothing had happened. And then I later acknowledged, like, yeah,
that did happen.
It's fine. It did happen. And then I think, like, and I teach two classes back to back, and like, I was under the impression, you know, I had originally planned on not taking the class, but then like an email came out that was like, students really appreciate seeing you in the shape, and I was like, oh shit, now I gotta fucking perform, like, a, you know, so
I'm still not doing that. I refuse. I mean, I'll demo something just to make sure that people see what I'm referring to, because especially since there are a lot of new folks who maybe haven't taken class from me before, like, you know, and they're not necessarily looking at the, like,
other people.
So, like, I will demo some things, but it's just like, you know, you gotta, I mean, everything about
the way I practice is like for a slow flow, kind of fast.
Yeah.
With lots of pauses. So I'm trying to in that moment be like, well, this is what I do, but yeah. Then when I'm describing what I do, I'm like,
yeah, no, it's a weird conundrum.
And I resent anything that's like, okay, look, I'm not a cinematographer. I'm not a videographer. I don't have a lot of space to do this in a way that the product feels elevated. And quite frankly, like, I resent any itching I feel internally.
Yes.
To like make it somehow more polished. And I so resent, like, you know, I'm having, and I'm not saying that my resentment is fair. I'm not mm-hmm. saying that it's right, but when I see yoga teachers in like an exquisitely empty space, like practicing without crazy noise in the back, I'm like, that's privilege. That's nice. How nice that you have that,
yeah.
That you have either childcare or don't have clutter because you have enough space and a healthy relationship with like fear about abundance. And like, so yeah. You can have an empty space. That's nice. To me, I am just so aware of the class structures in place for the yoga teacher to be able to create a product live on demand from their own space that looks expensive that I'm like, you know, fuck you. You're going to see like, no, I don't record from my own home.
Yeah,
I drive across state lines to record from my quarantine buddy's house, you know, and I'm so fucking grateful for my quarantine buddy.
Yeah.
Who has made it so that, you know, I am not, it's just so complicated. And I am trying to be positive, and I'm so grateful that I'm still teaching and getting to see my, you know, not, they're not that they're my students, but to the people that regularly come to my class, getting to see their face and know that they're okay.
Yeah.
Is great. And I am just trying to lower the standard on what it is I expect from myself.
Mm-hmm.
But like within, you know, this capitalist paradigm of like, no, we got to keep up the, I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's mostly self-imposed, you know, these are not, it's not like somebody, you know, at work is sending me an email that's like, hey, Kate, clean up your act. Nobody's doing that. This is internal.
Yeah, this is, yeah.
To be clear, I don't want anybody to send emails to Down Under that's like, are you busting Kate's balls? No.
No.
No, Kate's busting Kate's balls.
Yeah. I, in a completely manic defense mode, for a number of intersecting reasons for which I may need to get into with my therapist, totally rearranged my space in order to be able to teach in this bedroom here, and like got rid of so many things, and you know, I recognized what was happening, that I was just trying to take control of one thing, which was the physical positioning of the pieces of furniture in my room and where all of my things live. And it definitely like got me through a fairly anxiety ridden day, but it was just like watching it unfold from like a 10,000 foot view, it was like really funny. It was really.
You're like, oh, look at that. Oh,
look at what's happening. Look at what's happening. I literally, like, I had this like very tall, because I have very little closet space. So I had this very tall, like extra wardrobe in my room that I like took everything out of. I tore it down. I put, you know, a couple trash bags of clothes out for donation and like shoved everything into my normal closet so that I could have this like blank wall that you see behind me to teach against.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest with you, it bums me out a little.
Yeah. Bums me out too.
Can you like, I don't know, hang a tapestry or something? Give me something.
I mean, there's, you can see when I teach my whiteboard with the stick figures.
Oh, you know what that makes me?
What?
Sadder. Come on, you got a poster or something? Like a, come on, you got like a college poster of Coltrane?
No.
What do you got?
No.
You need like a lava lamp?
Yes, a lava lamp.
God.
Anyways, it's a strange world that we are living in. And
so you know what I fell asleep to last night? So what? I don't have cable news. So what I have to do is create new email addresses so that I can sign into NBC and get 3 credits to watch Meet the Press and Rachel Maddow.
Oh wow, Kate.
Is that bad? Anyways, that's where we're at. And but I love.
I can hook you up with a login.
You have an NBC login?
Yeah.
Oh, thank God. Okay, so Rachel Maddow, she was on air when I was in labor, so she has always been my my doula.
I really hope you get to tell her that one day.
You were my doula. Rachel, who was your birth support? Rachel Maddow. But I bring it up because I was listening to her show last night and it was gruesome.
Yeah.
It was really bad, the numbers. And I'm not going to go into the numbers. That's not what this space is for.
Yes.
But I realized that the thing that was helping me fall asleep was Rachel Maddow telling me how many fucking people are going to die. Oh, I was like, here come the numbers and the graphs. Someone knows. And now I can go to sleep. Like, how fucked up is that?
That's fucked.
Feeling like there's people that know and are paying attention and can like deliver yeah. the information, and like freaking Cuomo's kicking ass, and like I
yeah.
I can't do the not news thing though, when people are like, take a break from it, when I read that advice.
Yeah. I have been better though about just like I won't watch the, like I haven't been doing any like Rachel Maddow or anything like that. I've just been listening to the PBS NewsHour podcast the next day.
Yeah.
Cause it's just, it's like about as like, it's as like just the facts as one could plausibly get in this sort of media environment. And I've had to sort of reduce my normal like treasure trove of political podcast and yep. consumption all the way down to like just one thing.
That's, I get that. That's smart.
Because every time I try to listen to like one of my normal like weekly podcasts that I listen to, it's just too much. I just, I'm like, I can't. We're done.
Can you read my shirt?
I'll describe this. Kate is wearing a jet black t-shirt with a shooting star a la The More You Know.
With a rainbow tail.
Yes, with the rainbow tail. It says in big block letters, I'm very nervous. She is then sporting a beige cardigan.
It's a hand-me-down LL Bean from my mom, who by the way is a size medium. I'm an extra large to a double XL. I don't know why this cardigan fits. It's like the traveling yaya pants or whatever. Like, there's no scientific reason this thing should fit me.
Yes.
And yet here we are.
And yet here we are. So I feel like in our tangenting.
What do you think about people running to put 200-hour teacher trainings online?
Oh, it's begun.
It has.
The race has started. It has, we have reached that point where we'll now begin teaching teachers how to teach online. I think it's at the very least, maybe in a little bit of poor taste to be feeding me, Facebook ads. If at the very least poor targeting, which I know you can't abide by, it just doesn't, I mean, if you were going to say like, okay, let's, you know, if this stretches out another week and then you're like, okay, let's put together like some continuing education modules that are appropriate for online consumption, philosophy, you know, anatomy to a certain extent, et cetera, et cetera. Like, yeah, okay. Like that makes sense to me. But I saw like the day shelter in place went in place in Massachusetts, I saw at least 4 online yoga teacher training ads pop up in my various feeds between Instagram and Facebook. And I just think it's like, at some point we do have to get back to the fact that being in the room with folks is part of the value of what we're doing. And in the absence of being in a physical space, this virtual space is really helpful and maybe more helpful to folks than I necessarily gave credit to, just based on the you know, comments and messages that I've gotten from from people who've been taking classes or doing the meditations. And that's, you know, it's yet to be seen whether that is, whether the connection is possible, because we're lacking it in every other part of our, day. And once we go back to having that in every other part of our day, will there be, will it not feel quite so, quite so useful to be having all of this content online? I don't know. We'll see what happens.
You know, here's the thing that's interesting to me, anecdotally, is a couple, I was part of a module for the prenatal yoga teacher training recently, and the energy was different and in some ways better.
This was an online?
Yeah, and I won't go into detail, but there was just something about it that there was an intimacy to it that honestly I don't think would have happened in person. It's one thing. And it's really just, I'm sort of seeing this as an argument for having both available. In person and hybrid and just online. The other piece of it is, like, there are people that have been taking my class that have been trying to take their first yoga class for years, but have felt like so much shame about actually finding a studio. That they're like, okay. So I, you know, being able to see and meet those people that I've like known online, you know, is kind of neat. And also people that for one reason or the other don't have access, like physical access.
Yeah, they just can't.
Videos. Yeah. They can't. And then the other thing is like prenatal yoga classes, just plain prenatal yoga classes, the numbers are growing. And what this is, I mean, that's sort of a more complicated issue because those classes aren't usually given prime time slots that are like readily available times, but it proves the fact that, you know, people's lives are complicated and having more flexible access is a good thing. So what I'm hoping is that yoga studios and yoga teachers take from this isn't that everything should always be online always and that's all we should do, but just that that should be given as much credence and attention as its own thing.
Sure. I know. I do agree that it can, it is, I think for folks feels like you are like cutting down the time commitment of the class to the actual duration of the class. Right. So like there is
they don't have to travel. They don't have to find parking. They don't have to find childcare.
Yes.
They can, I mean, wow. It's mind blowing, you know?
Yeah. And at the same time, like, so I think if the eventual thing is that it will be both, like every studio will have some component of both available. I do think that that's where we're headed. But I think that it's different when it comes to professional training.
What if you're training people to be online yoga teachers?
Well, then I need to train them to practice yoga.
And you should be able to do that virtually. If you're training them to be an online yoga teacher.
Yes, but I do think at a certain point I need to be in the, you know, we're in extenuating circumstances right now, but at a certain point, like having a person-to-person connection is useful, especially when we're talking about teaching embodiment practices. I think that's I think we can move some of the things online, but I don't think that that's ever going to fully replace the in-person. And the thing that is actually one of the most challenging things, which I've only had to do once or twice, is having a class that's a hybrid of the two. where there are both people in the room practicing, and there's online participants, because then I feel like the online participants just become like passive observers.
Yeah, that's
and it's not great, because unless you really set it up so that there was some giant wall of faces that I could actually see in the back of the room, so that I could both instruct the online people and the in-person people, I think it would just be a technological nightmare. But anyways, I think there's a difference between having offerings online, especially in this sort of Zoom type way, and taking the 200-hour and 300-hour trainings online. I think those are two really, really different things. I would bet you that what actually happens is that there's a move towards more of a hybrid training, that everyone moves in that direction, because number one, then you're saving physical space. Mm-hmm. So like, if we're supposed to have a discussion on the Four Noble Truths, or not that I would ever lead a discussion on the Gita, but the Gita, nothing wrong with the Gita. It's just not a text that I have any more than a passing acquaintance with. It would be totally reasonable to set a time on like a Tuesday night and just have that component of the training be done in a virtual world. But then the actual like teaching, for the most part, done in person. I think that there's value to that that can't necessarily be replaced. And someone else might be able to replace it, but I don't think that I would be able to totally replace the in-person teaching.
Yeah, I think like meeting in person once and then allowing portions of it to be online is probably the ideal way to incorporate online things. But in this situation, and in sort of our changing, our rapidly and terrifyingly evolving situation, also like my experience in graduate school was, you know, for writing, was like really celebrating the solo portion of things, like, and then the coming together.
Yeah.
And then the work that you do on your own between just you and your teacher, and then the coming together, makes sense for what that is. Like, yes. Writing is a solo activity. And I'm feeling more and more the same way about yoga. Yoga is a fucking solo activity.
It's a solo activity.
So like, we don't have to.
What have I been saying for 12 plus years of teaching?
You know, it's a solo activity. So like, trainings that are big groups, like, it's fucking weird.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So like, online really facilitates the solo practitioner and the responsibility, the onus being on the individual.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you really want to learn, you got to do your fucking shit. You got to have your practice. You have to take accountability for your learning.
Yeah.
And so online really does that.
I mean, I think it can, but I don't think it universally does.
No. For sure.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird,
okay,
morbid, so this is, world.
This is what I would like us to come down the home stretch with. Things we're grateful for. and our quarantine tips.
Okay.
I am grateful for dry shampoo.
You know, I've never done the dry shampoo thing.
Gabby got me hooked on this one. Oh, I forget the brand, but I have tried so many brands and not liked them. And this one I tried and was like, oh, I get it. Because look, my bangs look clean-ish.
Ish. Right? Okay. Is that a tip or things you're grateful for?
Oh my God, it could be both.
Okay. What else?
Here's a quarantine tip. A lot of insurance companies, if you're lucky enough to have insurance, are waiving co-pays. So get mental health care. Mm-hmm. Use something like Teladoc. There's a bunch of them out there, but talk therapy. I gotta tell you, the shrinks are cleaning up right now. But like, take your mental health seriously. And if you have always thought, well, maybe I should do that, now's the time. Absolutely. Yeah. Give it a shot. Especially since co-pays are being waived. So that's my quarantine tip.
My quarantine tip.
Your quarantine tip.
That sounds...
Just the quarantine tip, please.
I have been trying to just like block out some amount of time during the day, not like at night or in the morning or anything, but just in the midst of all of the stuff, to just where I don't have anything planned. And I just sort of, you know, if it's nice outside, I might go for a walk or something like that. But it's just, as I said last week, like everything just keeps getting like squished together in terms of the timeline, and I'm finding it really important to not even just, I think last week I said like boundaries around meetings, but to just like have a block in the middle of the day where you're like, this is just open time to do whatever the fuck I want to do in that moment. And it might be nap, and it might be go outside, and it might be yesterday I just played the piano for an hour.
You're so cool.
It was just like, between this time and this time is just whatever I want to do in that time period, I allow myself to do.
I want a banjo.
I got a guitar. That was my quarantine splurge. The other day I broke out my saxophone, much to the maybe dismay of my neighbors.
I bet they loved it.
It's remarkable how quick stuff comes back, I gotta say. I mean, I still play now and again, but like even just giving myself like an hour, I was like, oh wow, I actually did spend a large portion of my life learning how to fucking play this thing. what's your next corn tip?
Man, no, you just got me inspired. I gotta like tune up my viola. Spent a lot of time.
Of course you played viola. That makes so much sense, especially the way that your hair is done today.
Listen. Every time I bring up the viola, you say that, and it's upsetting.
I love the viola, though.
The viola is a very beautiful, sonorous instrument.
Tis.
And the violin is a shrieky little bitch.
Yep.
So I played viola, and I also, you'll like this, euphonium and baritone.
Yes, I did know that.
The trumpet is a little whiny bitch. You know what's not? A euphonium.
We need to resurrect our band, Average and Pitchy.
Average and Pitchy. Oh, I want that as a t-shirt. All I want to do is buy t-shirts that are funny. Okay, quarantine tip. I don't want to... Everybody's baking bread. You don't have to bake bread.
Is that your tip? You don't have to bake bread.
No, but my tip is going to be to cut yourself some slack around food. Pay attention to it without trying to change it. Use your yoga and meditation just to notice. I am not giving advice. I am just saying notice. And also, remember you're not alone. I think there are a lot of people out there struggling with habits around functional and otherwise around food and around substances. And all of it is totally normal.
Yeah.
And you are not alone at all. So cut yourself some fucking slack.
I guess my last tip is just a show recommendation that I have watched over the past 48 hours. I rewatched The Comeback. Now, if you have not seen The Comeback, it is there are two seasons and they were filmed 10 years apart. HBO canceled it. And then they brought it back, and it's Lisa Kudrow. And I don't want to say like too much because it's just so fucking brilliant. And I usually rewatch it like every now and again, but I'm almost through the last season, and it's just so good and awkward and weird and. So that's what I've been using to finish up my day.
What's it called again?
The Comeback.
All right, and then here's one more quarantine tip. If you have children 5 and under, there is a show on 10 a.m. Eastern time on Facebook. It's called Miss Megan's Kindergarten Class. And Frankie hates it, but I put it on anyways. And, and she doesn't totally hate it, but it is something that it just feels like a useful tool for having structure mm-hmm. in the day where, you know, it's on a screen, but it's like live and interactive and, you know, use the tools that are available and don't feel guilty.
Yeah. Right?
We're just, all we got to do is come out of this alive.
Yes.
That's all that's being asked.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I appreciate that everybody is like, oh man, I'm so grateful for my grocers and for frontline workers and for people that are showing up to do deliveries and stuff. And it's like, yeah, okay. Like you can post that kind of shit all you want, but money talks. Yeah. You really appreciate them, tip them. Like people that work those kind of jobs, like you fucking saying something nice and sharing a flowery post about, you know, it's coming together. Well, come together with your fucking dollars and tip them. And let's change how people get paid. That is way more meaningful than a fucking thank you on Facebook.
Yes.
Or a handwritten note. Yeah, a handwritten note's nice, but you know it's really nice? A fucking like $20 bill.
Yeah.
So for those of you with means and money, I don't want to see your fucking Facebook post. I want to see that you're tipping well. Or that you're calling about like raising them fucking minimum wage. Like that is way more meaningful to working folks than
or actually for a lot of those folks, especially the like delivery folks, I believe our dear senator has a came out the other day to demand that a lot of those delivery services make everybody employees so that they have access to the same benefits and fall under the same wage laws that everyone else does. Cause right now they don't. We will see what
comes of that. Wow.
Comes of that.
Well, this has been unrolled. It's been a little short cause I limited childcare, but I appreciate the ability to connect publicly.
Indeed. If you feel so inspired to support the show, you can absolutely do that by going to my website, or you can just go to unrolledpodcast.com. It'll take you there too. And we're asking for $8 a month. If you can't do a monthly donation, I will put, hopefully today, just a straight up donate link to do a one-time thing on the website. And for those of you that do the monthly donation, you also get access to a bunch of online classes and things like that. And I'm forgetting something. Oh, and then anyone who listens, I'm doing Pay What You Can sort of meditation gatherings Tuesdays from 6:15 to 7, which is more of sort of anyone, whether you have experience meditating or not, can absolutely show up. And then one on Fridays from 4 to 5:15, which is a little bit more, I wouldn't say it's more advanced, but we definitely sit longer and get a little nerdier with the—
What day is that? The Friday ones?
Friday at 4.
Oh, I want to do that. That's awesome. And for those of you that are looking to keep up your continuing education, I am offering a trauma-informed teacher training online, and it is one-on-one. If you would like to work in cohort with a teacher buddy, or there's a group of you that want to do it, we can arrange that as well. But on my website, under Work with Kate Remotely, Virtual Offerings, you can learn about how to offer a trauma-informed yoga class, which I'm really excited. That took me a long time to get my get my shit together and put it up. Yeah.
I'm proud of you. Did you update your site? I haven't been on your site in so long.
I did. It still needs a lot of work because I'm busy building other people's sites, and it's about 10 years old. So it is not an example of the types of websites I build.
What is the
Yoga Curves, Kate?
Yoga Curve.
If you just put in Kate Robinson Yoga, usually it should come up.
Oh, lovely. This is great.
Thank you.
I'm so proud of you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I've been teaching it for a long time, and it's just nice to be like, okay, now I can do that with somebody in Idaho that wants it.
Yes, for sure.
Scholarships available if cost is prohibited right now, but I went pretty cheap, and it's, you know, it's not a 5,000 hour training. Because it's better to have some training than none.
So totally.
It's to get started.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.